Welcome to Discover Library and Archives Canada, your history, your documentary heritage. I'm your host, Angèle Alain. Join us as we showcase treasures from our digital collections, guide you through our many services, and introduce you to the people who acquire, safeguard, and make known Canada's documentary heritage. Between 1869 and the late 1930s, approximately 100,000 children between the ages of 2 and 14 were brought to Canada from Great Britain. Predominantly motivated by social and economic forces, a number of religious and philanthropic organizations encouraged the child migration movement, believing it to be providing an opportunity for many of the orphaned, abandoned, and poor children to begin a new life in Canada. After the long voyage to Canada, many children were welcomed into families across Canada as a source of affordable farm labor and domestic help. While some endured hardships in their new lives, many thrived in their new surroundings, making Canada home. Today, nearly 11% of Canadians can find a home child in their lineage, constituting a significant contribution to the growth and development of Canada. In this episode, we are talking with John Sayers of the British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa, also known as BFISCO, about the lives these children lived, the difficulties they faced, and some of the incredible stories of those who thrived in early Canada. In addition, genealogist Marthe Séguin-Munz joins us to speak about the wealth of resources available at Library and Archives Canada for those wishing to learn more about this important migration, and will show us how to use these resources to trace the lives of home children, as well as provide insider tips on how to use research tools to discover more about your family history. Hi, John. Thanks for speaking with us today. Can you tell us what BFISCO is?
Well, the British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa was formed probably in 1994 when it got its papers to encourage, facilitate, preserve, and disseminate research into people who came originally from the British Isles.
Well, I understand the British Isle Family History Society is working with Library and Archives Canada in partnership on a number of projects. Can you tell us about those projects?
Well, originally on the Home Children major database, mm-hmm. which was from the ship's list, back in 1994, it may have been the very first conference of BFISCO, or at least the second one, Dave Laurenti and his wife Kay gave a talk on home children. Now, most of us had no idea who home children were,
right.
Hadn't heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
And during that talk, he said there's a desperate need for a database of the names of as many home children as we could gather. I sat in on that lecture and thought, well, BFISCO is new. We didn't have a major reason for being. We didn't have a major project
mm-hmm.
like OGS, Ottawa has the cemetery recording. So I thought, well, that would be a good project for BFISCO, because we live in Ottawa, we're close to Library and Archives Canada, we have quite a large membership.
Mm-hmm.
The membership now is 500, so we do have a large, for a family history organization, it's a large membership.
And there's a need for home
children.
And
there was a desperate need. So suggested it at one of our meetings, and they sort of said, fine, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
And then they came to LAC, I'm not too sure who, but somebody came here
mm-hmm.
and made an agreement that if we provided the names and the database, LAC would host the database
on their website. So if you created the nominal index.
And that's right. And so we really wanted that, because LAC is likely to be here forever, whereas most other organizations may be here for 10, 15, 20 years, and then they disappear. So what happens to their database?
Right.
And so we were very pleased with that.
What are home children in Canada?
Home children are children who were put into a philanthropic home in England, generally allied to some religious organization, and then sent to a home over here, for a distribution home over here. Generally, they only stayed 1 day, 1 week, maybe 2 weeks, depending how young they were. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they may stay 6 months in the home over here, but then they were sent out to work on farms or as domestics, either working on a farm or in a home.
We sat down with Marthe Séguin-Munce to talk about home children resources at LAC, and she provided some insight as to why so many children were sent to Canada. So can you tell us why the home children were sent to Canada?
It was the result of the times that were difficult in families and in the cities. The parents were either sick, they were poor, they could not get take care of the children. In some cases, a widow had lost her husband and she had 7 or 8 children. I even remember researching a particular case where she had lost her husband and then she died herself. So her seven children had to be placed in homes in England.
So the houses were getting crowded? The homes were getting crowded in England?
The homes for children were getting crowded. The Industrial Revolution, the shortage of work, people were having a very difficult time to provide for their families. And consequently, a lot of children were sent in homes in England, and Canada needed manpower. There was acreage farming. They needed the help. And it was also thought that the children would benefit from clean country air, mm-hmm. as opposed to overcrowded yeah. cities in London or in the big cities, if you will.
It's providing an opportunity. So once the children arrived in Canada, what happens then?
Most of them went to a receiving home in Canada. Mm-hmm. And once they were in that receiving home, farmers' wives came and checked the children out. They all lined up and they said, I'll take that one or I take that one. This was a bit later on. In the very first parties, the very first ones, they were let off on the people met them on the train as they went across from Quebec City to primarily Toronto, Hamilton area. And people met the train and took so many children here and so many children there. Very little control for those children.
Do we know how many children came to Canada as home children in total?
Well, according to this is Sessional Papers, one of those very lovely little records. Mm-hmm. And the 1936 Sessional Papers says 97,872, and it gives a list of the different homes.
With the amount of children.
Except it says at the end, minor agencies, and there were a lot of minor agencies. There were around 50 sending agencies over the years. Some only lasted a short time. Some only brought 20 children.
Okay. And how many children today would be descendant of...
Well, people in Canada, they say about 11% of the population
11%.
Has a home child in their background.
I need to go look if I have a home child in my...
Well, it's surprising who has. Gilles Duceppe has a home child in his background,
right.
A London lad.
Yeah.
And he spoke very well when they made... the year of the home child was 2010, and it was passed as a private member's bill in the House of Commons, and they all spoke very, very well to the move. It was excellent, and Gilles Duceppe gave a very good speech.
Hmm. What was the most difficult thing that home children faced living in Canada?
The main thing was loneliness, absolute loneliness.
Can imagine, yeah.
They came, most, a lot of them had been in homes with other children. I mean, Barnardo's had their girls' village where about 20 children were in each cottage with a mother looking after each group of 20. They always had friends around them or children with the same problems around them. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, they're stuck out on some very lonely farm, maybe being mistreated, particularly the girls. So loneliness was the big thing. the fact that they were away from all their friends, all the people that they could talk to. And they never knew the reason why they were being shipped over. Most of them, Art Monk, who I knew quite well, he died 2 years ago, 97 years old. That was his question all the time. Why? Why was I sent? His parents were still alive. He and his brothers were sent earlier than him, were shipped to Canada. Why? Mm-hmm. You know, some of them landed on their feet and some of them did very well. They had amazingly large number of the children became Roman Catholic priests or Methodist ministers, Anglican priests, or missionaries. Quite a few became missionaries. And I'd say about 200 of the children were Jewish. One of the Jewish lads was Tugun Cohen, who came over to Saskatchewan, supposedly with his uncle, to work for his uncle from the Hayes Industrial School. He didn't like working for his uncle, so he went to work for a Methodist rancher, farmer, close by. And with that guy was a 19-year-old who was really good at cards. And the two of them learned to play cards very well, and they went around the prairies playing in the bars and everywhere, making money playing cards. But he eventually finished up as a general in the Chinese army.
Jeez.
And that's why he's called Tugun Cohen. He is actually buried back in England in Manchester. And that's said to be the only time that the communist Chinese and the Kuomintang, the nationalist Chinese, were together at the same funeral when he was buried. So he must have been quite a popular...
Interesting story, for sure. So a lot of the home children who came to Canada and stayed thrived as adults?
I mean, in the main population, you always get those that don't.
Of course.
And I'd say, 5% had a hard time, a really hard time, mm-hmm. and didn't thrive. A fair number committed suicide, unfortunately.
Well, when you think of the experience, too.
Some died of disease.
Right.
They came from poor areas. There was a lot of TB, tuberculosis around at that time.
Right.
At any rate, so a fair number died of TB. Some ran away, never heard of again, went to the States. There's several, actually. I can't think of his name. Wallace Ford, is it? An actor in Hollywood who actually ran away and rode the rails with his friend. And his friend was killed in a railway accident, so he took his friend's name and finished up down in California and did quite well as a bit actor and was very well respected. But he didn't go under his real name because he took the name of his... You know, that's the problem with home children.
Tracing them is...
They seldom tell the truth. They didn't know the truth.
Right.
They had no idea what the truth... They didn't know when they were born. They didn't know who their parents were half the time. They knew nothing, really.
How long have you been researching home children?
Well, since Dave Laurenti gave that little talk in 1994.
So you started there and...
Now, I have a sort of kindred spirit. I did come and work on a farm when I first came over here.
Did you?
And I didn't work. The big thing I remember when I got to the farm, I was so happy to see they had tractors and not horses. I never worked with horses and I didn't want to work with horses. They had three tractors and I was very happy with that.
So it gives you an idea of what it would have been like to be a home child, come here.
They were a Presbyterian family. I wasn't Presbyterian and I went to church with them. And, you know, that was actually a very good period to learn about Canada. I didn't stay there that long because I paid my own way over, so I didn't have to stay the 2 years, which mm-hmm. would have been if Canada House had paid my fare.
So what kind of resources does Library and Archives Canada have about home children in Canada?
Home children resources are typically found on the homepage of the immigration, because essentially that's what groups of children were. They were groups of children brought in from England and the British Isles, some from Scotland and some even from Ireland. The home children page is found
online on our website.
Online on our website, okay. Library and Archives website. And the lists of home children, which are of substantial numbers, are compiled from passengers' lists that were indexed by people over the years. And a big project was done by the British Isles Family History Society of Greater Ottawa. That the bulk of that database, the home children database, has been indexed nominally by that organization.
So by name. So people can search these children by name in this database?
That will be your first stop. You will go, you have the name of your ancestor or someone you know, and you will search the index by name. Keep in mind, however, that indexing will have its limitations, as in the case of names that are less easy to pronounce or less common.
So they might be written differently than what you think the name is written.
Definitely. I have seen the case of a family, their last name is Stilgoe, S-T-I-L-G-O-E, and I have seen it spelt, I think there were five children altogether, and five of them, I think there was about three, maybe four spelling, S-T-E-L. S-T-I-L, okay. S-T-I-L-G, and so
we need to try. We need to try different spellings.
Yes, we call it in genealogy, I like to refer to it as playing Scrabble with names. So we play around with Scrabbles. So that being said, we are looking at passenger lists, and we find the child that we're looking for. And of that display, you will have the surname, the given name, the age, the sex of the child, and the ship on which the child traveled on, and the year of arrival.
Okay, so you mentioned passenger lists, but if I put in the name of a child and I find them in the database, what other types of records could I find?
From the passenger lists, you can go to the Board of Guardians list, which is also, it's a microfilm that is held by Library and Archives Canada. And it has been, the nominal list has been digitized, and the names are linked to the database. So you might find the child's name on that second list, and it might not be there neither. So from there, you will see where the central registry files are also a great resource. Although it is not indexed by name, you would go under, in the central registry file, under the record group 76.
Which
is immigration records, okay. Records of immigrations of Canadian authorities. And from there, you would put the name of the house or the home where they were housed once they arrived in Canada. So we are particularly interested in names such as Marchmont Home in Belleville, which was established by Annie MacPherson from England. Mm-hmm. You would put Hazel Bray, the girls' home, the Barnardo's girls' home in Peterborough. The Niagara Lake, established by Maria Rye, who was the first person to bring a group of children to Canada. Mm-hmm. And that's Niagara-on-the-Lake. You would also put the names of the organization as well as the name of where the place was. So that's record group 76. And it's the records are on microfilm.
And what type of records are in this record group? Like, what do I find? So I put in the name of the house, and then what do I get?
You will find a list of children. You will find their age. Sometimes you will even find the complete date of birth.
Okay.
You will also find the name of the organization where they were, because we're looking at organizations in England. And so by putting in the name of the organizations, you will get the list of the children, notes, correspondence between the agents who looked after the bringing over the children. Sometimes they came over in groups of more than 100 on one crossing.
So you'll find this out while looking at the records?
While looking at the records. Once you have looked at the central registry files, the boards of guardians, which are from England, you would typically look at the census records. Imagine someone coming in 1904. You will look them up in the 1911 census and see where and which family they are living with.
So you're following this child, basically.
Following this child from pretty well from even the arrival, the departure in England, because the date of departure is included on the passenger list. Departure in England, they cross the Atlantic, they arrive in a group, then they are so-called dispatched to a home in Canada. In Canada, you will find them. There's New Brunswick, Ontario. Some of them are in Quebec, and some as far as Manitoba, and I've even heard of Saskatchewan. Okay. So once you look in the census after their arrival, and the census is a wealth of information. And a little trick, you will find, you will look them under the family name, and they will have a different family name than the family that they are living with, mm-hmm. because they're not adopted.
No, they, it's like
are
foster
hired
family.
As labor
okay.
help, farm hands. And so I've have a few examples here as well where the person arrives in Canada and you find him in the census. He's this particular case, Richard Palamountain. He arrives in Canada. He is sent to Quebec, to Knowlton, Quebec, and I find him in. We find him in the census. Then we find him in the First World War records because he serves in First World War. So we find his attestation paper, which tells us that he enlisted in Kingston. We find him in the digitized microforms, the death cards, which is where when the Veterans Affairs were notified of a death of a soldier, you saw the name of the, there was a card made out for that soldier with the registration number and so on. So from census records, immigration records, we find this is where the one way that we track. We follow them
the
through
life.
History, their whole life,
yeah,
essentially.
This example you were giving.
This Richard Ernest Palamountain is a good example of the variety of the resources.
Throughout his extensive research at LAC, John Sayers has come across a number of helpful resources. He talks to us about one that has been most valuable to him.
Sessional papers are a wonderful, wonderful source. You know, a typical one is this one I have here for, it's the 1872 report, so it's for the year 1871. Mm-hmm. And there's almost three pages of actual ships that brought immigrating parties and who those parties came from and how many. And don't forget, at that time, you became an adult at 12 years. So anybody under 12, 11 and under was considered a child, and anybody over that was considered an adult. So it's a little misleading when you
right,
see
you have to know
males
this.
And females, mm-hmm. adults, you know, 150 male adults. A lot of them may be 12 to 18
right.
years old.
Right.
So
so these sessional papers, they're at Library and Archives, Canada?
They're at the library section of Library and Archives,
right.
many shelves of them in French and English. And there's some very good photographs in there of home children in the 1904-5-6 period. They have some very good photographs of home children and the homes and parties of children.
So they're on the shelf. You don't have to order the box.
They're on the shelf up
volumes.
Until 1930-something, I think, now, which covers the home children period for mm-hmm. our purposes.
So, Mart, in a nutshell, where can people start their home children research?
When you start your research, first go to the Library and Archives Canada website. Then the specific pages that you will want to look at are the genealogy and family history pages. Mm-hmm. And under those pages will be the immigration and the immigration records, where you have the home children page. And there's a whole page of about home children that describes the records, both the ones available online, the ones that have been digitized, the ones that are indexed. That page also will refer you to other organizations as well that indexes, such as the BFISCO. That page will give a link to the home children database, the passenger lists. It will also give a link and a brief explanation on how to research Government of Canada files, which are available on microfilm. You come to Ottawa, you can come and look at the microfilm and get copies from the microfilm. The same goes for the juvenile inspection reports. They are also on microfilm, organized alphabetically. Middlemore Homes records are also available. That look up the website. We are constantly updating our website with digitized records, new indexes, and other resources. It's what we do. It's what we enjoy doing. Also, many books have been published about home children. Descendants of home children choose to publish books, and there's quite a wealth of them. Consult our Amicus database for published books about home children.
Well, thank you very much, Marthe, for being here today.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure.
To learn more about Canada's home children and to discover your ancestors, visit Library and Archives Canada's genealogy and family history pages found on our homepage at bac-lac.gc.ca. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Angèle Alain, and you've been listening to Discover Library and Archives Canada, where Canadian history, literature, and culture await you. A special thanks to our guests today, John Sayers and Marthe Séguin-Muntz. For more information about our podcast, or if you have questions, comments, or suggestions, please visit us at bac-lac.gc.ca/podcasts.